Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Thank you for the warm welcome. Just an introduction to me. You wouldn't miss me because I'm quite big, right? Yeah. So I'm married. I got one wife, right? My wife is Grace. So His grace is sufficient for me. And I have two daughters, Gladys and Glenda. All right. So I have three G's in my life. But I want to introduce to you the fourth G. The first G actually is God. So every time I introduce my family, of course God is the main person, the main reason why we are here today in God, and that's 4G. And it is exciting to be part of the bigger family in the Anglican Diocese, especially in Coos. I've learned a lot and I've been exposed to a lot lately, and exposed a lot because of my good friend, which is in front here with his wife, beautiful wife here. And I want to share with you in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. But before that, a few months ago, I was at the Bukit Timah Reserve, you know, and I was with my friend, and we were walking around trying to capture a nice picture. And while we were doing that, we saw this beautiful monkey, you know. So, no, we weren't doing monkey business, don't worry. And we're just taking picture, you know. And then slowly we found, hey, there are two more monkeys. So we take another picture, three, four, oh, it slowly increases. And we went closer and closer to the monkey. And later on, it's though like the monkey is leading us to their gang, you know. And then we went inside and there were like at least 30 to 40 monkeys. And we were profusely snapping away. And then my friend was like, you know, with flasher, pop, 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 you know. And it's like, wow, very fun. Then all of a sudden, one of them, probably an alpha male, start to show his teeth. You know, start showing his teeth. And then the rest of them followed. And we find ourselves get trapped. Behind, there were monkeys. In front, there were monkeys. Sideways, there were monkeys too. And we were thinking, oh no, we are in the hostile environment. And how do we get out? And then we tell ourselves that we will never tell anyone about this hostile environment. Anyway, how we got out, we actually shouted, all right, which is a very bad move, because when we shouted, they got even more agitated and we ran for our life. And then I think I lost 2 kg after that. Yeah. So without further ado, shall we stand? Shall we stand for the reading of God's Word? It's important that we honor God's Word, and through the Word of God, we know God in a very special and intimate way. Have your Bible with me, turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13, the temptation of Jesus. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, and when they were ended, he was hungry. Everyone say hungry.
Hungry.
Say hungry.
Hungry.
Wow, very obedient. Very good, Pastor Peter. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written. Amen. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Father, we pray that, Lord, this is your church. You are the head of the church. We pray that, Lord, you will instruct, you will inform, you will inspire your church, Lord, to become truly a church that will truly glorify your name, that will truly shine forth. Lord, I pray, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And so, Jesus is in a hostile environment. That's why I started off with the monkey story, right? How many of us are in a hostile environment before? You know, some of us in a hostile environment because we ask for it. We get to see the cane, you know, when we do something wrong. We are in a hostile environment when we get ourselves into trouble in the army, when we do something silly and then we get some extra duties, you know. We get ourselves into trouble in a hostile environment because we do something that we're not supposed to do. Jesus got himself into a hostile environment not because of what he have done, but because of who he is. Can I say that again? Jesus got himself into a hostile environment not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. And that is what it is. Firstly, I must explain to you why Jesus started off his ministry fasting, started off his ministry going into the desert, started off his ministry not going 1 day, 2 day, 10 day, 30 days, but 40 days. Why is that so? It's not very happening. If Jesus were to, Jesus had like 3.5 years. It's not a lot of time, you know. And I said, Jesus, are you wasting your time? You know, this is like important. You got to do important thing. I want to explain to you what are the 3 reasons why Jesus need to do this. The 3 main important things we need to know is, firstly, Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised deliverer, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Nobody can replace him to do what he had called by his Father to do. John the Baptist preached about this coming Messiah, the kingdom of God that is about to come. At the baptism of Jesus, heaven opened. Right? The Spirit of God is descended upon him, with the Father affirming Jesus being the Son of God. And the Father say, this is my Son whom I well please. This is my Son whom I well please. He is the Messiah. There is a divine purpose. There is a divine purpose. One of the reasons why I choose this topic is because, Pastor Peter has been telling us, preaching to us, and the various preachers have been telling us about the sonship, being sons and daughters of God. What it means to be sons and daughters of God. And we have a picture of Jesus being the Son. And as we reflect upon Jesus, we will recognize what it means to be a son and daughters in the Father. And here we see the Son has a divine purpose. Everyone say divine purpose. He has a divine purpose as a Son of God. He has a divine purpose as a Son of God. And secondly, Jesus is the second Adam. Have you heard about the second Adam? Right? Who is the first Adam? Adam, yeah, correct. Yeah, good. Okay, at the end of Luke 3, we see a string of names, the genealogy of Jesus. Whenever I read the genealogy of Jesus, you know, when I was younger, I get very bored. But do you know there's a purpose? There's a purpose why the genealogy is there. You trace the roots. You trace the roots. Every time, whenever I go market with my father, please laugh appropriately, alright? I say that again, don't laugh, please, yeah. Whenever I go market with my father, right, his friend will say, wah, jing xiang le ah. You understand, no, dialect? Look like you, man, like father, like son. You know, I was proud about that, you know. And so the genealogy kind of tell us the promise, not so much as the son of who, but rather the promise of God all the way from Adam, Abraham, all the way down Joseph. Then we see Jesus. It is the promise of God, and it shows one thing. It shows that our God is a faithful God. It shows that our God is a faithful God of every generation, including this generation. Amen. Including this generation. And it says in Luke 3, in the genealogy, what's interesting is the orders of name. It starts with the latest descendant of Joseph, all the way down to the son of Adam and to the son of God in verse 37. Firstly, this affirms that Jesus' destiny is divine as being the son of God, as mentioned earlier. And secondly, Jesus had a duty to change what Adam had done at the Garden of Eden. We all can recall what happened there at the Garden of Eden. The human story began with the downfall of Adam and Eve. That is where sin was introduced, and that is where sin was introduced when they subject themselves into Satan's temptation and deception. Now, Jesus is to face Satan and change the outcome. Thirdly, firstly, he's the Messiah. Secondly, he's the second Adam. Thirdly, Jesus is the great navigator. Jesus was led to the desert, which also represents the wilderness. We should also remember the history of Israel, whereby God led them out of Egypt into the promised land. However, the Israelites were disobedient and wandered around in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. 40 years before entering into the promised land. Is it coincidence that the place where Jesus is being led to the wilderness, Jesus is being led to, was a wilderness, and he was supposed to be there for 40 days, 40 years, 40 days. I don't think so. Jesus is about to change the history of failure into a future of breakthroughs, as he shows us how he navigates through a hostile and challenging environment. Now, Jesus goes all the way back and begin to make things right. A few years ago, when I was in the army, right? Not really a few years, but quite many years ago, I was in the army. And part of the army training is to learn how to navigate, to use the compass and a map. And I was in the training, and I'm supposed to be trained as the company recce team, all right? It's an awesome task, because if you lead the whole company, wrongly, and the mission will just go kaput, wrong, and the whole mission will fail. So I was in this training, and we were put in the middle of Brunei. And Brunei is very, very dark. When it's pitch dark, it's really, really dark. When you put your hands like this, you can't really see your hands. And those of you who have gone for a training, And so we studied the map carefully, and we were very sure, three of us, we were very sure of getting to our destination. And we said, okay, we kind of know it's quite a short distance. It's about maybe 3 kilometers. Shouldn't be a problem. We ran 2.4 for like maybe 8 minutes, Now I run for 8 hours, 2.4. So we said, no problem, we should be able to reach there. Put our compass away, put our map away, come on, we are the elite. Come on, man. Yeah. So we tell each other, we cite each other, and then one of them even got the John Rambo movie, Every time before we start, we watch the John Rambo movie. Whenever they pick up the GPMG and start doing like that, fake one, okay? Bluff, cannot be, right? So we do it. So we walk and find very funny. How come there is river? How come we need to cross ravines? Because the map, We remember the map doesn't show us all these features, all this terrain. And so, eventually, cut the long story short, we went back to where we started off. We went back to where we started off, and we start taking out our map, you know, and start taking out our compass. Okay? Instead of taking us probably about 2 hours, it took us probably close to 6 hours, you know, to reach there. And our platoon sergeant used very flowery language, and start to describe us, you know, and ask us to do some chin up, you know, and you'll be surprised, you know, in the middle of the jungle, they can construct a chin up bar. Yeah. Don't be surprised. You know, every time you want to go and have your meal, you need to do some chin ups, right? Yeah. So amazing. In middle of Brunei, there are chin up bars, and they use the tree trunk. And so Jesus didn't do chin up bars, but Jesus actually let all of us tell us that he is going back. He's going back as a Messiah, as the second Adam, as the Israel that has failed in the wilderness. I'm going to make things right. I'm going to make things right all over again. And what was Jesus' state at that time? Jesus was, it seems that Jesus, looking at this passage today, it seems that Jesus wasn't ready for any kind of showdown, for any kind of fight. You know, Jesus was at a state of being very weak. He was physically exhausted. He didn't eat anything for 40 days. Can you imagine this, 40 days without food? Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, I paused and start to think and said, wow, 40 days without food. Wow, that's really, really something. Yeah. Because I love food, yeah. But I love Jesus more. At this stage of fasting, the human body goes through tremendous low endurance. As it was during such time, Satan will come when we face hunger, tiredness, and other aspects of weaknesses. Jesus was also all alone. He didn't have anyone to support him or encourage him. At this point of time, he was lonely, he was tired, he was really probably very, very hungry. And here we have that scenario, and here is where Satan comes in. Then Satan enters into such a timely situation. Three times Satan throws a punch, a really, really solid punch with hope that Jesus would be knocked down, you know, from doing the will of the Father. Here are the three temptations. Okay, the first temptation, he says, the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, there are jokes around this, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but with bread and kaya, you know, bread and jam, things like that. No. Right? Satan tempts us of our deepest desire. If our desire is to have durian, right? Satan will tempt us with durian. If our deepest desire is to play phone, Satan will use that. If our deepest desire is to worship God, he cannot do anything. If our deepest desire is to want God in our life, if our deepest desire is the Word of God, if our deepest desire is to read and obey the Word of God, Satan has no power over us. And that is what it is. Who can really, who can really feed us? Who can really feed us? Yeah, I know your parents feed you, you know, with all kinds of food. But who can really, really feed us? What is our immediate need? Today, you and I, you seated there, I'm standing here. We sit here as a testimony that it is God Himself that can feed us, that can satisfy us. And today, if we are not careful, our desire may shift from the Word of God to worldly things. You know, and that's what Satan wants to do. But Jesus says that no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. And that is taken in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And the first is desire. What's your desire? What's your desire? Your desire is God. Your desire is God's word. Your desire is something else other than God. Then Satan can touch you. If not, Satan wouldn't be able to touch you if you have the word of God. Because the word of God is the sword, right? A spiritual sword. Secondly, right? Luke chapter 4 verse 5-8 says the devil led him up to the high place and show him and says this splendor, this whole thing, this whole entire place, you know, I can give it to you. You know, it's owned by me. I can give it to you. Just worship me. Worship Satan. And Jesus says what? It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Taken in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Here, we touch on allegiance. Because when God the Father saved the people of Israel from Egypt and want to put them into the promised land, God is the one that saves the people of Israel. And here, Jesus tells Satan, no, I shall not worship you because my God is greater. Because my God is faithful. Because my God is the one that saves me. You know, here we talk about allegiance. First, we talk about the desire. Second, we talk about our allegiance to God. Worship and serving goes hand in hand. Worship and serving goes hand in hand. I'm not talking about worship in terms of just songs, but with our lives. I want to read something to you in this book called Spiritual Discipline by Richard Foster. Right? He puts it this way about serving. All right? He says self-righteous service come through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with the divine. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. You'll find those people who really want to serve God, and you ask the person, why don't let us go and wash the toilet? Yeah, why not? Yeah, that's true service. Self-righteous service requires external reward. True service rests contented in hiddenness. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about result. True service is free of the need to calculate results. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service minister simply and faithfully because simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporal. True service is a lifestyle. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. True service can withhold the service as freely as perform it. Lastly, self-righteous service fractures community. True service, on the other hand, builds community. Builds community. That means our service has to reflect who we worship. We worship God, we will have the attributes of God. We will have the fruit of the Spirit. And with the gift of the Spirit, we are able to serve. It is also encouraging to see right back there the sound console. I was talking to Henry, right? Henry, is it Henry? Yeah, John. So I was John was like fixing me up, you know, and making me look really good and slim. And I was saying, hey, wow, you got some minions over there. You know, all the people serving there. And it's very encouraging. It's very encouraging to see youth rising up to serve. But don't just serve for the sake of serving, but serve because we love God. Amen. When we serve and we begin to love God, we will not be hurt by anyone, you know. And so we begin to do that. And so it is interesting down here in the second temptation, Satan wants people to worship him. And guess what? You know, Jesus says that worship the Lord your God and serve him only, because through that you will find that it is him alone that's worthy of praise. Who deserve our honor and praise? The question is, who deserve our honor and praise, you know, at this, in our lives? Thirdly, we see the third temptation. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand in the high point. And he says, if you are the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down. And Jesus says, it is written, he will command his angels he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test, you know. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. And it speaks about obedience and trust. Our act is in accordance to our belief system. Our act is in accordance to our belief system. When we believe certain things, we will do certain things. Let me explain. Let me just give you an illustration. In the month of June, we have, my girls have school holidays, right? So I actually, want to bring them to, Universal Studio, right? So, I know going Universal Studio, inevitably you will need to sit some roller coaster. And, one of the roller coaster is, Battlestar Galactica. And I heard it's very fun. And I heard that your hair will drop, you know. And I heard that you will do something funny, you know, and you're not prepared. So anyway, we all go, and then my oldest daughter said, I want to see this, I want to see that. So I said, let's try the least, you know, the least so-called dangerous, you know, least exciting rides. So we went to the dragon one, you know. So we went there, you know, I was like, okay, that's just very slow ride. You know, it was like maybe five to six years I've not rode a roller coaster. I was telling this girls, look at this. It's not frightening. All right, it's just all you need to do is just to hold tight and just look straight. Don't look down. Look straight. You know, just look straight and just think of happy thoughts. You know, if you really, really cannot, you know, just shout Jesus, you know, just shout, just pray, you know, pray in tongues and do that, you know, and I'll be with you, you know. Then I asked two of my daughters, who want to sit with me, you know. Then nobody want to sit with me, so I said, no, you must sit with me, you know. So my younger one sit with me because she's a bit afraid, you know, and I got more cushion, right, more padding. So we sat, I tell you, it was scary. It was really, really scary. And in the middle of, it was like maybe the most 2 minutes, right? I tell you, the first minute, I was still like, Lord, I'm coming home with you. Wow, I was like, right, oh man. Oh. And I was thinking, what happened if this is malfunction? What happened if I drop down? I sure die one. My weight, you know? And what happened to my daughters? What happened to my poor wife, you know, without this handsome husband? You know, what happened? What will happen to them, you know? Oh, within 2 minutes. Wow, amazing, right? I can think so many things. And so later on, I still put it on the front. I said, oh, no problem. Yeah, it's good. You know, and next ride, I think the last ride was the mummy. I was asking my two daughters, do you want to sit Battlestar Galactica? I think it's not fun, you know. My older daughter was saying that, no, let's try. I said, no lah, it's quite dangerous, right? You know, although I can sit with you, but it's quite dangerous, right? Somehow it's a bit wet, drizzling a little bit, you know. I said, yeah, better not. They said, yeah lah, daddy, you're right lah. You know, and so we sat the mummy. Oh, the mummy ride. You know, it was pitch dark. It was pitch dark and we were riding. They couldn't see my facial expression. I thanked the Lord. I said, hallelujah, thank you. I saved space, my face, you know. So we were riding. And I was like, wow, so afraid, you know. And then I was asking my wife, were you afraid, you know? Then after the ride, right, they will take picture, right? Yeah. My expression was like this. Yeah. Then my daughter was saying, "Daddy, your face is funny, eh?" She said, "Look very scared." "No lah, just trying to make funny face so that you laugh." Obedience and trust. Obedience and trust. When you are able, when you know God, you are able to trust Him. You want to obey Him. I think it's a progression here, the temptation. When you know the Word of God, you know God, you know the author of this book, of the Bible. And when you know the author of this book, you will begin to worship Him. As you begin to worship Him, you will begin to offer yourself to Him in service in every aspect of your life, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, in every aspect of your life. And not only that, you are able to step out in faith even though it's pitch dark, even though your face look like this. Because you know the Word of God. You know a personal God. You know that this God is real. And Satan tries to attack, you know, using the Word of God. Satan knows the Word of God, right? He attacks, he throws at Jesus, but Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to test." When we do not know the Word of God, when we do not worship God in spirit and in truth, when we do not worship God, not just, we do not worship God with our whole being, we begin to think that we know God. When we think that we are serving God, when we think that we are worshiping God, that's where it gets dangerous. That's where people will come to you and say, "You know, God tell me that you will marry me. God tell me that this chair, red color, no good, must change to white because National Day coming. God tell me, Pastor Peter, that your shirt must change color, so red and white, and must go diagonal." You know, it is dangerous when we do not know the Word of God. When we do not know the Word of God, we are unable to worship God in spirit and in truth, and we are unable to serve Him in a manner that will please Him. We will begin to test God, and God detests that. And God detests that. Satan will tempt us every step of the way. Every step of the way. All this temptation is a means by which Satan wants to move Jesus away from the perfect will of the Father. Just like how Satan had done to Adam and Eve, and also the people of Israel. Moving them away from God's plan is the same thing. But Jesus didn't. He stood the test and looked straight in the eyes of Satan and says, "My life is more than food, more than everything that you can offer, more than even your tests. It is about me doing the will of the Father who sent me to fulfill His purpose." Jesus says in John chapter 4 verse 34 says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and finish His work." Such is the focus and commitment. I want to just share with you three aspects. We see that how Jesus overcome temptation. Firstly, He is full of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not for us just to feel Jesus only, to feel God only, but the empowerment to know and to lead us, to point us to Jesus. He is full of the Holy Spirit. He decides to fast. The fasting is to abstain from earthly needs, to focus on our earthly, heavenly needs in order that we may commune with God. He also memorized scripture, right? This church, right? Senior pastor, you know, encourage the whole church to memorize scripture. Because when we begin to memorize scripture, when we begin to internalize scripture, we have the strength of God to go through. I tell you, when I was doing my standard obstacle course, we need to clear this standard obstacle course within 8 minutes. And every time when I do my standard obstacle course, it's at least 10 minutes. Why? Because at the low rope, actually low rope, not very low when you are having full battle order. All right. So I was doing my low rope. I always feel. And I was running. And I was running, you know, and doing my mock test. And every time I would fear. I would fail my mock test, and every time I would stay back, you know, people on Friday, they book out. I only book out on Saturday evening. Sad story. And then my girlfriend, you know, will always, you know, complain, you know. And, for those of you, in the army and you have girlfriend, girlfriends, please understand, because sometimes when you talk over the phone with your boyfriend, right, then you will hear, okay, it's just deep breathing. They are not sleeping, all right? That they are not sleeping. The deep breathing because they are excited to hear your voice. So there were many times I have such encounter, all right? But that's side note. Yeah. So I was doing my center obstacle, and the day comes. We need to sit for the test, and if I fail the test, I'll be thrown to another unit. So as I was running, I tell myself. PTI say, do it once, do it good, you know. So I run. Then all of a sudden a scripture come to me. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. So from doing once, doing good to all, I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. Then I was meditating on that. I was verbalizing that. I said, well, I cannot verbalize because I no breath. Then my saliva all dry up. So I just think. So I was running. I clear. One, two, three. Clear. Oh, all clear. And I was so happy. And then I crossed the finishing mark. Guess what? You all must say what? Guess what? Yeah. I did it at 7 minutes 59 seconds. Just 1 second before that. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. You see, the word of God will strengthen. And amazingly, my platoon sergeant asked me how did I do it, and I said you tell me the PTI say that, you know, do it one, do it good, you know. Yeah, I said that. Then also I said I can do all things through Christ who strengthen me. Then they all like stunned, give me the big eyes look. Wow. Then from that day onwards I got a nickname. They call me Holy Man. Yeah, that stuck on. Yeah, so memorizing scriptures is very, very important. I want to share with you what a training that Jesus goes through. The training is that even in the book of in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 52, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You and I can overcome the temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit and by spiritual discipline. And what I mean by spiritual discipline is to engage ourselves in praying, in meditation, in reading and studying the Word of God, and by fasting. As we engage in that, as we disengage from the world, we disengage ourselves and spend quality time alone, without girlfriend, without boyfriend, you know, just alone, you know, or even, put away, you know, those things that will distract us. Spend these 40 days from today onwards and see what God can do in and through your life. Each of us go through training in life. As a marathon runner, we go through training and how to breathe, how to run, how to stretch our legs. As a chef, you also train how to cook, how to understand the ingredient. We all, as a soldier, we train how to defend the nation. While all these things are good, but these are all temporal. Our spiritual being is eternal and requires our undivided attention if we want to live a life of abundance, if we want to live as sons and daughters, if we want to see breakthrough in our life, if we want to begin to see that a temptation in life is really nothing because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. In conclusion, today's passage has caused us to see that Jesus was ready to overcome Satan because he was well trained. We read in verse 14, Satan left him till an opportune time. Jesus has won, but Satan will return again all the way till he was hung on the cross. But you and I know who is the winner. Who? Jesus. Today, we can experience this victory if we order our lives around the practices of Jesus. You see, Satan wants Jesus to turn the stone into bread. But Jesus is the bread of life. It's more than that. Jesus feeds the 5,000. You see, Satan wants Jesus to worship him. If Jesus were to worship Satan, Satan were to give him to become an earthly king. But Jesus wasn't concerned, wasn't interested to become an earthly king, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? Satan asked Jesus, right, to throw himself from the temple to see God will protect him. But Jesus willingly threw himself at the gates of hell, and only to find that his Father grabbed him, raised him up, and exalted him to heaven. This is our God. Let's pray. I'm just going to pause a while. Let's allow you to speak to God. Let you reflect on the Word of God. And ask you to discern as children of God, to discern what God is saying to you right now. Today, Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. Jesus is saying that I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is saying to each and every one of us, including myself, that He is the reigning Messiah. He is alive. Nothing can hold Him back. Nothing can hold Him back from His love for you. That He will break Himself and pour it onto each and every one of you and say, take it. This is my body. Drink, all of you, in remembrance of me. Abide in me and I abide in you, that you will bear much fruit. Today is the day that we have that divine transaction with God. And we're going to allow Him to feed us with His Word. Allow us to Him to show us what really worship is all about. As Jesus worships the Father. What it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to know what God has in store for us. Soon after this temptation, while you are still in the praying attitude, Jesus found this scroll. After this temptation, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, Today, Church of our Savior, Youth Ministry, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because Jesus is our victory. Father, we thank you for today's word. We pray that, Lord, you will continue to move by your Spirit and excite us as we read the word of God. As we spend this 40 days or any days of time that, Lord, we want to commit to you and say, Lord, you speak to us through your word, to your Logos, through your Rhema. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will inspire us, stir within us a hunger for your name. Stir within us a hunger that in our worship, in our adoration, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the 7 days, we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. Wherever you have placed us in the schools, in the office, families that, Lord, you have placed us in, Lord, we will serve you. We will honor you. And the Lord, all that you ask of us to do, we will do it because it's accordance to your will. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you are going to do in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name.